Would you turn back to Genesis 31? I have entitled the message for this evening, Jacob, Laban, Law, and Gospel. And I pray that the Lord will give us the grace to see this. The last verse of chapter 30, speaking of Jacob, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle. That's the way wealth was measured in those days. And maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. He became very wealthy watching Laban's flocks. You'll remember how Laban had nothing but white cattle, and these white cattle mated, and nothing but speckled and spotted cattle came out. And they all belonged to Jacob. And he became fabulously wealthy at this time. Verse 1, chapter 31. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which our father hath he gotten all this glory. Not so. God did this, but this is the way they interpreted it. This is the way they saw it, and they thought they were the losers by it. Now, there was no love lost between Jacob and Laban, as we've seen in their relationship. They were highly suspicious of each other, and with good reason. Jacob would deceive Laban. Laban would deceive Jacob. And this just went back and forth for these 20 years. Verse 2. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. You know, I've seen that numerous times over the years. Preaching the gospel, someone seems to be rejoiced, love what they're hearing, and then all of a sudden their countenance changes, and there's no joy. Just a blank stare. For whatever reason. And that happened with him. He saw this change of countenance. No rejoicing. And the Lord said unto Jacob, verse 3, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I'll be with thee. Now here, after 20 years, God says, go back to Isaac, the land of your fathers, and I'll be with you. What's better than that? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'll be with you. Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. Now remember, these were Laban's daughters, and they lived here all their lives. And he said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it was not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. He may be against me, but the God of my father is with me. And you know that with all my power I've served your father. Now I hope we can all say that about our jobs. Every one of us, with all my power, with all my ability, strive for excellence in your job, for the glory of God. He said, with all my power, I've served your father. Verse 7, and your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. And this is my been my experience. He's changed my wages dishonestly, deceitfully, 10 times. But God didn't let it hurt me. You see, Jacob believed in an absolutely sovereign God. And whoever it is that you're having a hard time with right now, remember, God's hand's on you. And that person's not able to do any more to you than He purposes. And it's for your good. And it's for His glory. And Jacob understood this. You see, he knew the living God. He knew the God of absolute control. And he says as much. Now look what he says. If he, Laban, said, thus the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said, thus the ringstrake shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstraked. This was not due to my superior genetic understanding of how to breed cattle. Whatever he said, God made it to be. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and hath given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle that are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Laban did everything in his power to make Jacob to have nothing. And God caused everything Laban did to be to Jacob's benefit and good. God was doing this. Oh, the Lord is in the details of everything. Isn't that comforting? The Lord is in the details. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now, do you remember when God appeared to him 20 years before in Bethel? And he had that vision of a ladder that reached all the way to heaven and was set up on the earth. And the angels of God descending and ascending on that ladder, Christ the mediator. Every blessing I have comes to me through Christ. And any way that I can come into the Father's presence is simply by being in the ladder. This is not a ladder I'm climbing. This is the ladder that brings me directly into heaven. That's the gospel. And that's when he was converted. That's when he was brought to a saving knowledge of Christ. When that ladder was revealed. Now God said, I'm still the God of Bethel. As I was then, I am now. I'm still the God of Bethel. The God who first appeared to you. He hadn't changed any. He's still the God of Bethel. Now arise, verse 13, get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. He hadn't been back for 20 years. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Is there anything we're going to benefit from staying here? No. You've got everything. He has nothing now. Are we not counted of him as strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that's ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. Now there was no loss between Laban's daughters and Laban either. They say, we want to go with you. We want out of here. Verse 17. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. And he carried away all his cattle and all his goods, which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting. He didn't steal these from Laban. He earned these with God's help, with God causing it. Shouldn't even say with God's help. God caused this miraculously to take place. And these didn't belong to Laban. They belonged to Jacob, which he'd gotten in Padan Aram for to go to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan. In the meantime, Laban went to shear his sheep. And Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. I guess she was thinking, well, if I'm not going to get an inheritance out of him, I'm going to get something. And she steals his images. And look in verse 30. And now, though thou wouldst needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? You know, these images were his gods. You know, a god that can be stolen is not much of a god, is he? Rachel's like her dad. Acorn doesn't fall from the tree. She rips off his gods. And Jacob stole away, verse 20, unawares to Laban, the Syrian. And did he told him not that he fled? I mean, there was no goodbye. We're getting out of here. So he fled with all that he had and rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. Now, this pursuit was to, I believe, kill Jacob and get all of his wealth and get his daughters back. Jacob had been nothing but a sore to him as of recently. He hadn't benefited from him. And he was pursuing him in anger. I think he was going to take back what he believed was his. It wasn't his, but he believed it to be his. But what happens? Verse 25, and God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night. I think it's interesting. God came to Abimelech with regard to Abraham. Same thing with Isaac. And now the same thing with Jacob. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord's hand's on you? And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Don't try to win him back. Don't try to woo him. Don't try to sweet talk him. Don't try to threaten him. Don't you say anything to him. And you can bet that Laban was scared. When God appeared to him in this way, he knew that he had no power against the God of Jacob. Don't you say anything to him, good or bad. Don't woo him. Don't scare him and threaten him. Verse 25. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Was that true? No. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and tabret and with harp? I was going to have a party for you. Anybody believe that? Don't believe it for a second. And has not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. You were wrong in this. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. No, it's not. But this is his way of threatening, even though God said not to. It's in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesterday night, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. That's why I'm not hurting you. And now, though thou wouldst needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house. I think he's making fun of him. You're a crybaby. You don't feel, you feel like you can't make it on your own. You got to go back home. You sore long for your father's house. Yet, wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Now, Jacob didn't know this took place. Rachel did this. She didn't go tell Jacob, hey, I stole Dad's gods. She was going to try to benefit from this. And she had not told him. Now, look at Jacob's response. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. That's why I left, because I was afraid. For I said, peradventure thou wouldst take by force thy daughters from me. That's why I left. That's why I didn't tell you. I knew what you would do. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren, discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen. Now he said, if you find my gods in my camp, kill the person who has them. He didn't know Rachel had them. Verse 33. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then he went, he out of Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And then we're given this bizarre detail. She said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. It's my time of the month. I can't get up. And he didn't ask her to get up. If those images would have been anywhere else in those tents, they would have been found. This is the one place they could be searched for and not found. Now that is a very important detail in understanding this passage of Scripture. There was one place where they were covered and could not be found. And she said to her father, verse 35, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. Well, Jacob's righteously indignant at this time. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. I can almost hear him talking, hey, where are they? You didn't find a thing, did you? Told you. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, which thou hast, with what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us. These 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she goats have not cast their young. And the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. I've treated you in absolute justice. That which was torn of beast, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether they were stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, my sleep departed from mine eyes. That's how hard I worked for you these 20 years. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. And I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac. I love that. The God of Abraham produced the fear of Isaac. The fear of God. That's the beginning of wisdom. You see, when there's any true knowledge of God, there will be the fear of God. Except the God of my fathers, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, Surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. That's not so, but that's what he says. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters or unto thy children which they are born? Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. Now, if you'll remember earlier, Laban said, I've learned that whatever you do, God blesses. I don't want you to leave me, because whatever you do, God blesses. And any blessing I have is for your sake. He said that, and he's renewing that again. Verse 44, now there come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made an heap. And they did eat upon that heap. They had a meal together. This signifies peace between them because of this covenant. And Laban called it Jegarsahadutha. That's called Ian. But Jacob called it Galeed. That's Hebrew. But both words mean the exact same thing. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. The heap of witness is what my marginal reading says. And Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives besides my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. Now, Laban knew enough about God to know that he sees everything. He didn't know the living God, but he knew some accurate things about it. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap and behold this pillar, which I've cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be a witness, and this pillar be witness, that I not pass over this heap to thee, and thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. And Jacob swear by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice on the mount. I do think it's interesting. Laban didn't offer any sacrifice, but Jacob did. Jacob knew that there wasn't anything to a covenant without the sacrifice. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned to his place. End of story. Something that literally took place. A historical event. But in Jacob working for Laban, I see the law. He worked hard for him. Look back in verse 7. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages. How many times? 10 times. Turn with me for a moment to Romans 7. Hold your finger there. I'd like for you to look at this with me. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? The Ten Commandments? Are they sinful? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, using the commandment as a base of operations, wrought in me all manner of evil desire, concupiscence, covetousness, lust. All the law does is produce this. You believe that? Thou shalt not covet. Okay, I won't covet anymore. You know better than that. All you have to hear is thou shalt not covet, and you start coveting. You see, the strength of sin is the law. The problem's not with the law. The problem's with me and you. But the strength of sin is the law. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You look to Christ alone. Now understand this. Walking in the flesh is thinking you can keep the law. Walking in the Spirit is looking to Christ alone. And that is the fulfillment of the law. But He says the law deceived me. Verse 9, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived. It lifted up its ugly head, and I died, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. Just like Jacob being deceived these 10 times. And by it slew me, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin. Working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment, by the light of God's holy law, might become exceeding sinful. Now, understand this. If you can look at God's holy law and see yourself in any other way but exceeding sinful, you have not understood the law of God. You're clueless. Now, He speaks of this law these 10 times being deceived. Now, Laban comes to search for that which is rightfully his. Those images, teraphims, his gods, belong to him. They were his property and they were rightfully his. Rachel had stole that which belonged to him. Laban, the law, has a rightful claim. Why could Laban not find them? They were covered. They were covered. If they would have been anywhere else in any of those five tents, they would have been found. But Rachel put them in a camel's bag and sat on them. And it was her time of month. Now, the Bible points this out. Somebody says, why are you bringing this out? Because the Bible does. And really, to me, this is the key to understanding this passage of Scripture. The Old Testament calls this the time of her uncleanness. Now, there are two things associated with this time of month. Under the law, blood and uncleanness. And the one place where her guilt could not be found, even when it's being searched for, is in this place where Leah sits. I want to be very careful as I say this. This is a detail given by the Holy Spirit. Christ's blood was shed. Because he bore the sins of his people. He was made to be sin. And the more I repeat that, the more I understand that there's so much mystery behind what all that means. He was made to be sin. He never sinned. He is the spotless sacrifice. And even when he was made to be sin, he never sinned. But this is an important detail. On the great day of atonement, one animal's blood was shed. The scapegoat, while he was still alive, had those sins representatively placed in his body. And he was led away. And while Christ was alive, he bore, while he was still alive, he bore the uncleanness of my sin. And the only place that my sin cannot be found is this covering. Now, my dear friends, that's the gospel. That's the only place. He never sinned, but like the scapegoat of old, while he was yet alive, he bore the sins of his people. And what all that means, I repeat, I don't know. But the moment he died, every believer was justified. He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. That's why these sins cannot be found. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 50. Verse 20. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. Now the law of God will do a search. And this covering is not like me covering this piece of paper with this Bible. I can't see that piece of paper, this note. It's covered, but you know what? It's still there. All I got to do is look. There it is. The covering of the blood of Christ is not like that. When he covers, the sin no longer is. So that I stand before God having never sinned. And it's only because of his covering. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The law seeks, nothing is found. For this one reason, they were covered through Rachel. And this is the only place they could not be found. Verse 36. And Jacob was wroth, and he showed with Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, where is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Bring on a charge Can't be. He actually maintained his innocence. Now, here's what justification does. It makes me to where I'm unguilty. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? There's no sin. You can't bring one sin. Wherefore hast thou searched all my stuff, that thou hast found all thy household stuff? See, here it is before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us. Then he talks about how hard he had worked, but the success of his labors was due to the Lord himself. Look in verse 7 of this same chapter. Your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said the speckled should be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he shall say the ring strength should be thy hire, they bear all the cattle ring strength. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. God did this. You know, in this glorious thing of salvation, it's what God does. That's why it's real. That's why it works. It's what God does. You found nothing. Verse 42, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. Now, Laban exercises some human wisdom at this time. He realizes and remembers that any blessing he had was for Jacob's sake. So he wants to enter into a covenant once again. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, these children are my children, these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children which they have borne? Now therefore come thou, and let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said to his brethren, gather the stones. And they took stones and made an heap. And they did eat there upon that heap. There was peace between the two of them because of this covenant. And Laban called it Jegar-Sahadutha. But Jacob called it Galeed, the same word in two different languages. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed and Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when thou art absent, when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, if thou shalt take other wives besides my daughters, no man's with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap and behold this pillar which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be a witness and this pillar be a witness that I'll not pass over this heap to thee. And thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. Now, the law is not going to touch me for harm. Not going to do it. I love God's law. But here's the way I prove I understand it, love it, by looking to Christ only. I love God's law. But I'm not getting near it. I'm not going to try to keep it. I know that can be misunderstood. Somebody saying, well, this is lawlessness. This is antinomianism. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're the one that's an antinomian if you think that, if you think you can keep it. I'm looking to Christ only, and I'm honoring the law of God. I love God's holy law. And in Christ Jesus the Lord, I have kept the law, and I have a perfect righteousness before God. But I'm not going to. I'm going to try to keep the law and make myself more holy. Now, listen, I don't want to sin. I don't want to ever sin again. I don't. But I go to that law, all it does is expose my sin. Nothing more. So what does old Jacob do? Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount. What I thought of is what the writer to the Hebrews called the blood of the everlasting covenant. Any covenant doesn't give me any comfort unless there's the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And only then can I enter into peace with this covenant. You see, false religion, sacrifice is not everything. In the gospel, the sacrifice of Christ is everything. False religion has gods that men can control. I mean, his gods got stolen. Any god that you have control over is a false god. God is absolutely sovereign, and He made a covenant that is ratified by the sacrifice of His Son. And so here's all Laban can do. Verse 55, and early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and daughters. That's all the law can do. Kiss me. Kiss me. No guilt. Perfect obedience. And blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Laban, Jacob, law and gospel. Let's pray. Lord, Your Word is so exceeding broad, so gloriously high, so holy. And Lord, we ask that we might be kept from our own understanding and our own thoughts. And we ask that You would be our teacher and teach us Your Word. Teach us Your gospel. And how we thank You for the sacrifice of our Redeemer that covers our sins. Lord, let us always have an attitude of fear and trembling and rejoicing in Thy gospel. Lord, as we face this week, we ask that You would give us grace to walk with Thee. We ask that You would allow us to be aware of Your presence. We ask that You would open up doors for us to preach Your gospel to other people according to Your will. How we thank You for the free forgiveness of sins. In Christ's name we pray.